Hey there, ready to dive into some seriously cool science?
Absolutely.
Today we're exploring the world of mRNA vaccines with a focus on a game-changing algorithm called linear design.
It's truly fascinating how this research is pushing the boundaries of vaccine development.
You got that right. I checked out those research excerpts you sent over, and it sounds like linear design could significantly boost how effective vaccines are.
It really could.
It's like having a secret weapon in the fight against diseases. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's break it down.
Okay, sounds good.
You mentioned this research connects vaccine development and computational linguistics.
Yeah.
I'll admit, when I first saw that, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Those two fields seem totally unrelated.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
It is, it's a surprising connection, but it makes sense when you dig deeper. The key is understanding how linear design uses concepts from linguistics to design better mRNA sequences, which are the messengers that tell our bodies to create proteins that fight off viruses.
Okay, so it's like mRNA is the language our cells understand, and linear design is figuring out the most effective way to write that language.
Exactly. And just like a sentence can be written in many different ways, a single protein can be encoded by a mind-boggling number of different mRNA sequences. Think about it. If you wanted to describe that perfect loaf of bread, you could write countless different sentences, right?
Right.
But some would be clearer and more effective than others.
Right. Some might be super technical and confusing, while others are simple and make you crave a warm slice. So how does this relate back to linear design?
Well, linear design is like a master wordsmith for mRNA. It sifts through all those possible mRNA sentences to find the most stable and effective ones for producing a specific protein.
Okay.
It considers something called codons, which are like the individual words in the mRNA sentence.
Hold on, codons. Can you unpack that a bit?
Absolutely. Codons are just groups of three letters within the mRNA sequence. They act like a code, telling the cell which building blocks to use to make a protein.
Okay, so if mRNA is the language, codons are the letters that make up the words of that language.
You got it. And just like some words sound better together or are easier to understand, certain codon combinations work better in our cells.
Okay.
Linear design factors this in, ensuring the mRNA instructions are written in a way that our cells can easily read and understand.
So it's not just about finding any mRNA sequence. It's about finding the one that's written in the clearest, most effective language for our cells, like choosing the most persuasive words to get your message across.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really exciting.
Okay.
The paper mentions linear design was tested out with the COVID-19 spike protein. They compared it to a commonly used method, and the results were incredible.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
What kind of results are we talking about?
The linear design sequences showed up to 128-fold increase in antibody levels.
Wow, that's not just a small improvement, it's gigantic. What's causing such a huge difference?
It comes down to how linear design tackles two key things, stability and codon optimality.
Okay.
First, it's amazingly good at designing super stable mRNA sequences.
Okay.
Think of those mRNA strands as delicate messages being delivered.
Yeah.
We want to make sure they don't fall apart before reaching their destination.
So kind of like ensuring your message is written on sturdy paper and not a flimsy napkin that will disintegrate before it's read.
Perfect analogy. Linear design designs these sequences with stronger structures, making them last longer and be more effective once they reach their target. This also means vaccines could potentially have a longer shelf life and be easier to transport.
That's huge. But it's not just about delivering the message. It's about making sure it's read loud and clear, right? That's where codon optimality comes into play, right?
You're right on track. It's about ensuring the mRNA message is translated into proteins effectively. And the study found that linear design sequences were much better at this than standard methods. It's like the difference between a poorly translated instruction manual and one written in clear, concise language.
Mm. So linear design helps ensure the message is not only delivered safely, but also understood correctly by our cells. That's incredible.
It is. And there's more. This isn't just about COVID-19. The researchers found similar success with a varicella zoster virus vaccine, which is the virus that causes chickenpox and shingles.
So this technology has the potential to revolutionize how we develop vaccines for a wide range of diseases, not just COVID-19.
It's incredibly exciting. This could be a game changer for tackling some of the world's biggest health challenges.
Okay, I'm completely on board with how groundbreaking this is, but I have to ask, how does linear design actually work? What's happening behind the scenes to make this all possible?
Imagine you're trying to create that perfect loaf of bread, using our analogy from earlier.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just throw ingredients together randomly, right? You'd probably follow a recipe and maybe even experiment with different combinations.
You know me too well. I'm definitely the type to try tweaking a recipe to see if I can make it even better.
Exactly. And that's essentially what linear design does, but on a
Right.
much more complex level. It explores different combinations of codons, those building blocks of genetic code, to find the most effective recipe for a specific protein.
So how does it actually sift through all those possible recipes or mRNA sequences? You mentioned it borrows an idea from computer science called deterministic finite automata, or DFAs. That sounds pretty intense.
It sounds more complicated than it is. Think of a DFA, like a flowchart with different paths and decision points. Each path represents a possible mRNA sequence, or in our analogy, a different recipe for the protein.
Okay, so each pass is a different recipe, but how does linear design decide which path leads to the tastiest or most effective protein?
That's where the concept of lattice parsing comes in. It's like linear design is systematically analyzing each recipe on the flowchart, evaluating how good it is based on two main criteria: stability and codon optimality. We've already touched on codon optimality, basically, how efficiently our cells can read and translate those specific codon combinations into proteins.
Right, like making sure the recipe is written in a way that even someone who's never baked before could follow it. But what about stability?
Stability refers to how well the mRNA strand holds its shape. Remember, those mRNA molecules are delicate. We want to ensure they don't degrade or fall apart before they deliver their protein-making instructions to our cells.
So going back to our analogy, stability is like making sure our recipe doesn't fall apart before we even get to the oven.
Exactly. Linear design uses something called the Turner Nearest Neighbor Free Energy Model. It sounds complicated, but it's essentially a way to calculate how strong the bonds are within the mRNA molecule. The stronger the bonds, the more stable the structure.
So it's like checking if the recipe is printed on a sturdy index card or a flimsy piece of paper that will fall apart with a drop of water. Makes sense. But I'm curious, how does linear design actually manage to analyze all these possibilities? We're talking about a massive number of potential mRNA sequences, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where things get really clever. Linear design uses a few tricks to speed up the process. One of them is something called dynamic programming.
Dynamic programming. Okay, now you're just using big words to sound smart.
No, I promise it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Imagine you're trying to solve a giant maze. Instead of starting from scratch each time you hit a dead end, you'd probably start making notes of which paths you've already tried, right? That's kind of what dynamic programming does. It avoids repeating calculations, saving a ton of time.
Ah, so it's like linear design is leaving breadcrumbs in the maze of possible sequences.
A great way to put it. And to make things even more efficient, it uses a left-to-right approach. So it's systematically going through the possibilities in a logical order, like reading a recipe from top to bottom instead of jumping around randomly.
Yeah, that seems much more organized. But even with those shortcuts, aren't there still way too many options to analyze? It's like trying every single bread recipe in existence.
You're right. Even with these optimizations, the search space can be huge. That's where beam search comes into play. This technique helps narrow down the possibilities by focusing only on the most promising paths.
So it's like quickly skimming through a cookbook and only focusing on the recipes that look the most appealing and have the highest ratings.
Exactly. It's all about working smarter, not harder. And the researchers found that even with a relatively strict beam search, linear design could still find extremely stable and effective sequences without taking forever. Pretty impressive, right?
Incredibly impressive. So we've got these DFAs representing all the possible mRNA sequences, and linear design is using lattice parsing, dynamic programming, and beam search to quickly and effectively find the best ones.
You've got it. It's a testament to how powerful these computational tools can be for tackling complex biological problems.
It makes you wonder if this type of technology could be applied to other areas of research too. But before we get lost in the possibilities, I'm curious about the limitations of linear design. The paper mentioned something about untranslated regions, or UTRs, that could also impact vaccine efficacy.
That's a great question and an important point to bring up. UTRs are like the bookends of the mRNA molecule. They're sections at the beginning and end that don't directly code for the protein, but can still influence how the mRNA is processed and how well it does its job.
So, using our recipe analogy, are UTRs like the pan we use or the oven temperature? They're not part of the ingredients list, but they can still affect the final outcome.
That's a great way to think about it. Linear design primarily focuses on optimizing the recipe itself, the main coding region of the mRNA. It's still early days, and researchers are exploring how UTRs could be further optimized. The interesting thing is, the highly stable mRNAs designed by linear design seem to have a neutral effect on those UTRs, which is a good thing.
That's reassuring. So while there's still more to learn about UTR optimization, it doesn't sound like linear design is creating additional hurdles.
Exactly, and that speaks to the elegance of this algorithm. But let's step back for a second. We've talked a lot about how linear design works, but what really makes it a cut above traditional codon optimization methods?
That's a great question. It's clearly doing something different and much better than what we've been using.
Right. Traditional methods tend to focus solely on codon frequency. They try to use codons that appear more often in the target organism, assuming those will be translated more efficiently. But they often overlook the impact of codon choices on the mRNA's overall structure. It's like trying to build a sturdy house using only the most common type of brick without considering the overall design or architecture.
So it's like they're so focused on finding matching bricks, they forget to check if the house is structurally sound.
Exactly. Linear design takes a more holistic approach, considering both codon usage and mRNA stability. This opens up a much wider range of possibilities and allows it to discover those exceptionally stable sequences we discussed, which traditional methods might miss.
And those stable sequences are key to the remarkable increases in protein expression and antibody levels seen in the experiments, right?
Absolutely. The paper highlights that optimizing for stability and codon usage together is crucial. It's not enough to just have one or the other. You need the perfect balance of both.
So it's finding that sweet spot where the recipe is not only delicious, but also holds its shape beautifully.
Yeah.
It reminds me of those intricate bread sculptures. They're not just tasty, they're structurally impressive.
I love that analogy. And it highlights why linear design is so groundbreaking. It's unlocking a whole new realm of possibilities for designing incredibly effective mRNA vaccines and therapeutics.
It's mind-blowing when you think about it. This one algorithm has the potential to change how we approach vaccine development for years to come.
And to think, it all started by connecting two seemingly unrelated fields, linguistics and vaccine development. It just goes to show the power of interdisciplinary thinking.
It also makes you appreciate the tireless work of researchers who push the boundaries of what we know. Who would have thought such a small thing, optimizing mRNA sequences, could have such a massive impact?
It's a testament to the fact that breakthroughs can come from the most unexpected places. This is why we need to support scientific exploration and encourage curiosity. It's the only way we'll continue to unlock those aha moments that change the world.
This deep dive has been truly eye-opening. Linear design represents a massive leap forward in mRNA technology, and its potential applications are incredibly exciting.
I couldn't agree more. It's definitely a field worth keeping our eyes on. Who knows what incredible breakthroughs are just around the corner?
Well, one thing's for sure, we'll be here to break it all down for you when they happen. This has been a fascinating deep dive into linear design and the future of mRNA vaccines. Thanks for joining us, and a big thanks to our expert for guiding us through this complex yet incredibly important topic.
It's been my pleasure. Always happy to geek out about science.
Until next time, keep those questions coming and stay curious.